WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number three of the program here on Friday morning. And what a fun conversation that was in the last hour with Little Miss of Little Miss and the Boom. Looking forward to seeing them live for the first time tonight. I've been enjoying their music on YouTube, but it'll be fun seeing them in person for the first time tonight. And a few people have been sending an app chat messages saying, you know, what was that? Where is it again? I love that kind of music. So I hope that some of you will be there and will check it out. And it's funny because when I was talking to Emily yesterday, I was texting with her and saying, you know, you're going to come on the show and talk about it. And I was saying, do you want me to refer to you as Emily? Or do you want me to refer to you as Little Miss? Because, you know, coming from the wrestling world, I know you want to protect the gimmick, you know, but definitely a lot of fun. And it is a vintage pinup night, so it's going to be. There's going to be photos. I know the East Coast Vintage Vixens are going to be selling their calendars. So it'll be a nice night for anybody that is into that whole scene. And if you're not, well, it'll still be a fun time anyway. 508-996-0500. That is the number to call in and chime in. We were getting some app chat messages before, and I'll try to catch up on those. No surprise here. Earlier this morning, I triggered the Trumpers. But we had a discussion, Mary and I, and she referred to Michelle Obama as a man and did it the second time after I, you know, said, like, we're not going there. And so then I had to hang up with her. But don't worry. Mary messaged me. She's like, I don't know why I still like you. And I said, because anybody that owns a cat can't be all bad, right? Although my cat can be all bad sometimes. But the pork man sent in an app chat message that says, just wait until Mary and the rest of Trump's base in the white rural areas lose Medicare. Also, there were more deportations in 2023 under Biden than ever before, second only to 2014 under Obama. Yeah, oh, well, but those numbers might get challenged by Donald Trump's policies here. Like if he's going to be able to fully enact all these policies, I think he might take that record. But I will ask, and I'm just asking this question. I don't need people jumping down my throat about, well, what are you saying? You support illegals? I'm just going to ask this question because ICE formally stated that the arrests that they have been making the last couple of days are just standard procedures. So I'm asking the question, are we actually seeing more ICE operations going on? Or is the media just paying attention to them more? Or are people capturing them on social media because they're looking for them? Is it more? Because as someone pointed out, that's in law enforcement. What do you think, that they just acted on 2 days worth of information? What you're seeing is the culmination of months of investigation. ICE doesn't just show up because you called the number yesterday because Chris McCarthy told you to. Because Chris McCarthy told you to snitch on your fellow neighbors. I told him I was going to use that word. I'm saying that more just to tweet Chris than anything. But, you know, just because you called yesterday because Chris gave you the number doesn't mean ICE is showing up today. So these are things that had been planned for weeks, if not months in advance, is what this law enforcement person was saying. So is that, and I just don't remember their name. I saw them on TV, but I don't remember their name. So is that the case? Is this just standard operations that would have happened anyway, no matter who the president was, and people are just paying more attention to it? That's probably the case. I think, you know, if you want to see whatever the effect of these executive orders are going to be, these executive orders that are now being challenged in court, by the way, but if you want to see what the effect of that will be, I think you got to wait probably a couple of weeks or months, really, to see that effect. And I'm not talking about, you know, that's not being said in a way to disparage Donald Trump or what he's trying to do. I'm just talking about how that whole scenario has to play out. That's all. Like, I don't think they just show up because you called them. I think they do a little bit of investigation and digging. And then the other thing that's being made a lot out of is, you know, this idea that Maura Healey and others are backtracking on their policies and their statements about how they approach undocumented immigrants. That, oh, well, all of a sudden Maura Healey's changed her tune by saying, oh, well, you know, I support the deportation of anybody who is a criminal. Like, that's not new. I don't know anybody that's come out and said, well, I don't care that they're a criminal. They should stay here. I don't think anybody said that. If they are a criminal who has served their time and were released again, that shouldn't be held against them no more than you should hold it against a person who is a criminal and was released and then shows up at your business that you own looking for a job. I would hope that you're not discriminating against them if they paid their debt to society. Although, who knows, with all these executive orders, that might be okay now too. But it's not really a change in policy for people who are for folks being able to come to this country if they are looking for a better life and to be able to do so on an asylum basis if they feel like they can't stay where they are. That doesn't mean that they're saying, well, and if somebody's wanted for murder down there, they should be able to come hide up here. Nobody has said that. So that's not really a change in policy. And also, Maura Healey never said, I'm going to stand in the way of ICE from doing their job. So her saying, I'm not going to stand in the way of ICE doing their job, is not some sort of change of heart. You're just putting it through the lens you want to put it through because you want to feel like your boy put her in her place. No, she's just saying what any normal, rational thinking person has been saying all along. The difference is, you know, people like that are talking about actual criminals who have committed murder, rape, theft. Whereas some of you are saying, well, just the fact that they walked across that border is a crime, so they're all criminals. Well, some people aren't going that far with it. 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We also got, I think it's Dokraz, if I'm saying that right, or Dokraz. We were talking about Stormy Daniels before. He says, good morning, Tim. Stormy Daniels signed two affidavits stating she did not have sex with Trump. Was she lying? Well, as she later testified, you could say that she did lie. But as she later testified, after she had signed those affidavits in court, when she testified that she did, in fact, have sex with Donald Trump, she said that she was coerced as part of the NDA that she signed. They told her that she had to sign those affidavits. And so she thought that was part of this NDA process. So she said later that she felt that she was duped. Now, you don't have to believe her if you don't want to, but that was her explanation of it. Yes, I did sign affidavit saying that I didn't have sex with him, but that's because they told me that's what I had to do as part of the NDA. Which I'm not surprised. Of course you try to, if you're trying to protect yourself against somebody saying something publicly, why not throw that in there as well and sign this affidavit so that we can, you know, have that legally against you if you say anything. But the important part is she testified in court after the fact that they did. And I don't think you can dispute that fact anymore. You can argue how you felt the payments that were made to her should be characterized, but that's about the only thing that you can debate at this point. Also, I know I said that I might replay the discussion with Council President Burgo from yesterday, but now we're in the 8 o'clock hour, which is where we ran it yesterday. So a lot of this audience probably already heard it. So what I will say is you can catch that on the podcast from yesterday if you did miss it and hear it as inside. It's about 20 minutes, and it was just kind of going over why the committee assignments shook out the way they did, what some of the changes were to the committee structure, and kind of what the immediate plan is going forward. I don't know what happened in the council meeting last night because I was bowling, and when I got home, I went right to bed really and didn't watch it. I got home later than I wanted to and just kind of played with the cat for a bit and then went to bed. But he said that they weren't going to rush through any nominees for the license, any appointments of the licensing board, when they felt that Mayor Mitchell has had plenty of time to put in candidates that would go through the proper procedures. And I heard Councilor Aber, when he came on with Chris yesterday in the 11 o'clock hour, which you can also catch on podcast, I heard him reiterate the same thing, that he is not for just rushing them through no matter what the need may be, when they, being the administration, have had plenty of time to put forth these appointments. And I thought, you know, I was of the mindset of, hey, we just had a murder happen in a bar that had already had a murder outside of it a few months ago, that had already had violence inside of it in the past. And now the chief of police had to exercise his authority under the laws of the Commonwealth to shut the place down. But he doesn't want to do that. He doesn't want to be the one making that call. That's what the licensing board is for, to have a proper review and hearing of all the things that are involved and then make that determination by a board of three people. But you can't do that if you've only got one member. So I thought this was kind of an emergency need. The same way they appointed Nick Nanopoulos on an emergency basis, I was like, well, let's get something going here so that we can have this hearing. But both Council President Burgo and Councilor Aber both said, no, this process exists for a reason. And we're not going to circumvent that process because, in their opinion, the mayor took his time in making those appointments and then asked them to rush afterwards. So I thought, okay, well, then that's a fair point. Some of the other interesting points that were made, I thought was, you know, when I had asked the question about should we read anything into the fact that Ward 3 Councilor Sean Oliver, who challenged Council President Burgo for the presidency, he didn't get any chairmanship. Should we read anything into that? Is that, you know, you knew I wanted to be president and you challenged me? And he said, no, that wasn't what it was about. Now, of course, every council president in the past has had that right to do that if they wanted to. And I'm sure it's been done before. But he said, no, that's not what it was about. It was about he had a chairmanship and didn't hold any meetings. So I didn't have the faith that he knew how to schedule and conduct meetings. And I thought that was a bigger dig in my mind than if he had come out and said, yeah, the guy opposed me, so I'm not going to give him a chairmanship. I thought it was a bigger dig to say, I don't know that he even knows how to follow Robert's Rules of Order. I mean, he didn't say that. But to insinuate that he doesn't know how to schedule and hold a meeting when he attends all the council and committee meetings, I thought that was a bigger dig. And so, you know, I'm not trying to cause drama here, but I think that's something to keep an eye on. Can they work together? Because that I felt, and then he made the comment about, you know, using the council presidency as a way to mentor other counselors. And of course, that got Carlos Felix to call in and question Council President Burgos' ego over that. And I find that dynamic fascinating and something to keep an eye on. And we're going to have Council President Burgos in on a weekly basis starting on February 3rd, every Monday in the 8 o'clock hour. Well, he will be taking your phone calls. And I think he's envisioning it the same way I do, as being a counterpart to what we do on Mondays with Mayor Wednesdays with Mayor Mitchell and Chris. The mayor comes in for an hour, takes your phone calls. The council president will come in for an hour, take your phone calls. And just be fair, you know, I want to be fair. All the previous council presidents that I've had on wanted to do the same, but their schedules did not allow. In fact, when Councilor Carney was the council president, her schedule didn't allow her to come on with us at all. She was able to get a few times in with Chris around her work schedule, but for the most part, like the early mornings, six to nine, were not favorable for her to join us, which is too bad because, you know, there was a lot of stuff going on that I thought would be great to hear about on a weekly basis, and I just like talking to Councilor Carney. She's one of those people where she's a good person to hear in the morning. She's full of energy. She's full of positivity. She's a good person to have on a morning show. But it didn't work out with the schedule. So now this forthcoming version of that council president segment will be kind of how we've always wanted to do it, but have just not always been able to do it. And as Council President Burgos mentioned yesterday, there's a couple of Mondays where we won't be able to do it. Really, it's probably just Memorial Day and Labor Day, because those are days that we have off. But if his schedule allows and our schedule allows, we can shift it to, you know, the Tuesday or even the Wednesday. We'll find a way to make it work. Or if we take a week off, we take a week off. You're still going to get plenty of opportunity on a weekly basis to talk to the council president. But make sure you have those questions. I mean, I like Shane Burgos. I could talk to him for an hour. But after a while, sometimes I run out of questions, so you have to bring your questions with you. You have to be ready every Monday to ask him what you want to ask him. And I also like, too, that he doesn't back down from callers. He will take you head on, and he's happy to do so. So we'll see how it goes. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right, 508-996-0500. I've got to take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments. Welcome back in. We're going to go into the newsroom now and get all the headlines from Phil Devitt, and then we can talk more with you on the other side. 508-996-0500. Take it away, Phil.
What Trump is ready to declassify, the world's biggest iceberg on the move, and how to give yourself a break.
From the WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
President Donald Trump signed an executive order on Thursday directing the declassification of remaining files related to President John F. Kennedy's assassination. The National Archives had previously made 97% of the records public, but some files were still withheld. Trump's order tasks the Director of National Intelligence and the Attorney General, though neither is confirmed yet, with creating a plan for release within 15 days. Additionally, the executive order includes declassification of more records related to the assassinations of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and Robert F. Kennedy, with 45 days to prepare a release plan. The move follows Trump's campaign pledge to restore transparency and accountability in government. A federal judge on Thursday temporarily blocked Trump's executive order denying U.S. citizenship to the children of parents living in the country illegally, calling it blatantly unconstitutional during the first hearing in a multi-state effort challenging the order. The 14th Amendment to the Constitution promises citizenship to those born on U.S. soil, a measure ratified in 1868 to ensure citizenship for former slaves after the Civil War. But in an effort to curb unlawful immigration, Trump issued the executive order just after being sworn in for his second term on Monday. Pete Hegseth, President Trump's nominee for defense secretary, paid $50,000 to the woman who accused him of sexual assault in 2017. This according to answers he provided to a senator during his confirmation process that the Associated Press has obtained. The written answers were provided to Massachusetts Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren in response to additional questions she had for Hegseth as part of the vetting process. His attorney, Timothy Parlatore, declined to comment Thursday on the dollar figure, which was previously unknown. The world's biggest iceberg, a 130-foot-tall wall of ice the size of Rhode Island that had shaken loose of its mooring, is lumbering toward a remote island off Antarctica that's home to millions of penguins and seals. And staring at screens for long periods can cause eye strain. We all know that, including blurry vision, dry eyes, and headaches. Well, experts recommend taking breaks every 20 minutes and focusing on something 20 feet away for 20 seconds. Adjusting screen size, brightness, and distance from your eyes can also help.
WBSM Sports.
Bruins home at TD Garden to play the Colorado Avalanche on Saturday afternoon, and Celtics in Dallas to play the Mavericks also on Saturday.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Mostly sunny today, a high of 32 degrees. On Saturday, partly cloudy with some offshore snow, a high of 29. On Sunday, partly cloudy again, increasing clouds at night, a high of 38 degrees. As we head into a partly cloudy Monday, also 38 degrees. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with a WBSM app.
It is, we are going to be joined now by a very special guest, because we have joining us from the butcher shop, we have Joe Pinaretta joining us this morning. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. It's been a while since we've talked to you.
Well,
I know.
It's nice to come back once in a while. I'm here.
And, hey, I was going to say, people can always go down there and see you at the butcher shop.
I'm still alive. I'm behaving.
So how's it going over there?
Come on down, folks. We got a lot of good stuff.
What do you got today?
Oh, you don't believe it. We still have the tomahawk steaks.
Mm.
We have the ribeyes. We have the celebrity chops. We have over 50 plates to go, if you like it. And we also have the codfish agumes de sauté. We have kale soup, brand new. I just made it. So please come on down. I'm down here on the wine cellar. We have so many to pick up from. So will you please come on down and Happy New Year.
Yeah. Hey, I ask Eric this every week, so I'm going to ask you, what are you going to be eating from the butcher shop this weekend, Joe?
What am I going to be eating from the butcher shop, my friend? Whatever I eat, I like it.
There you go. There's nothing bad at the butcher shop.
And if I was you, I would try the celebrity chops.
Oh, so good.
Which is out of this world. Today we have fish. We have the bacalao cum zecar. And come on down. We have plenty of stuff. What I'm going to eat probably is going to be, I don't know. I'm a very poor man. I'll have chicken breast. I'll have leg quarters. You know, I eat anything. I'm a poor man, just like everybody else.
Well, listen, I don't want to get anybody in trouble, but sometimes when I ask Eric what he's going to have, he says, you know what? I think I'm going to have a tomahawk this weekend. So if some tomahawks have gone missing, it's probably him taking them home. So.
Well, that's good. Let him enjoy it. He's young. I'm an old folks, an old man. Anything makes me happy now.
All right, well, everybody can go down there and see you and get all of this great stuff at the Butcher Shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. Thank you so much, Joe, for joining us. You have a great weekend.
Come on down. Don't forget, 508-994-4942. You are more than welcome, so come on down, please. Thank you.
All right, take care, and say hi to Maria for me, too.
Happy New Year.
To you as well.
Thank you.
That is Joe over at the butcher shop. Go see him. See, people have asked me. They've said, you know, you talk to Eric every week. Is Joe still around? He's there. He's just busy. And plus, you know, I think Eric likes to razz me a little bit. So I think he likes to come on. We go back and forth. So check out the butcher shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. All right, let's jump back into the phone calls because we've got full phone lines. So let's go to the calls. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. Yeah, I'm going to have to go check it out. I was always told to go by there. I'll give it a shot. You know, when I go to a restaurant here and there, you know, I can always give them, even though it might be bad at a restaurant, you might have a bad experience, bad meal. You got to give a place a second chance, right? So I haven't ever been there, so I'm gonna have to go take a browse and take a look at what he has over there to try it out. So
yeah.
Thank you for that plug anyway. So what I wanted to talk about, so I want to give you a little a life story about myself. Not a life story, but most of my adult life, I was a registered Democrat. You know, like a lot of people, you know, Catholic, you know, Democrat. I think that trickles down from, you know, being that JFK was, you know, a Catholic and he was a Democrat. So that trickled down. So most of my life, you know, I voted Democrat. And, you know, being a low information voter at the time, I could say that, you know, I mean, I don't hide that. So I was I was young, you know, so I voted for my first time voting was I voted for Bill Clinton. I voted for Al Gore. I voted for Obama twice. After the second time voting for him, just his policies, as I got older, I started paying attention more. So I didn't care the fact that I thought I made a mistake by voting for Obama the second time. So when the election came around in 2016, I was still on the fence, like a lot of people probably were, to either vote for Hillary or vote for Donald Trump. And what my deciding factor was when the subject of Benghazi came up, as a nephew of a World War II Purple Heart veteran, I didn't like her stance and I didn't like her policies. And that's where I changed. And that's the reason why I voted for Trump. So just so you know, I'm not this rah-rah that I might come across as that way that we've had conversations before. So as I got older, I realized at that time, I got to stop voting with my head, what I believe was the best policies. What is my quality of life going to be like and what's going to be in my pocket and my retirement? So that's what I was looking towards.
And also when people do change, so when people are, you know, a Democrat earlier in life and become a Republican later, I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean that they were wrong in having those beliefs in the first place. Sometimes people's, you know, lives and outlook on their lives change. Sometimes the party's policies change and the people who lead the policy parties change.
Yeah, but I'm not a registered Republican or I'm an independent. So I try to learn, like, to keep an open mind. But what got me when I know we've had a little bit of heated conversations, a little bit, you know, I don't disrespect you and you don't disrespect me. At least I don't think I disrespect you. But to hear you talk this morning, I know you talked to Mary a lot and this and that, but You know, I would hope, well, I think that drives people crazy, like with that you don't have an open mind to say, hey, you know something? I don't agree with a lot of some of the stuff that Trump, like the way he talks sometimes. I think he's more of a, I think he's more seasoned now. Before he went in there, he was green, just like in anything else. You get a rookie that comes into the sports, whatever professionals, well, they think they know it all. They're great, and, you know, they're the superstar. And then they get a reality slap, you know? And I think that's what happened with Trump. You know, he walked in there, thought he was the man, whatever. I don't agree with some the way taking a stance on certain things. I can admit that. But I wish you would understand that you're going to be stern, and I think it drives people crazy that you won't admit, and people that are with you as far as voting for a Democrat, Biden or whoever it may be, that you can't say, you know what, I don't like what he did here, or, you know, give me something that Biden, like you said, you know, no, Biden didn't do that. I didn't like what he did here. I think if you did that a little bit more, and be, I don't say truthful, but do that a little bit more, I think people would take you or more, be more understanding to your stance. Does that make any sense?
But I don't hear anybody call into Barry and say, hey, Barry, I want to hear you say one bad thing about Donald Trump.
Well, there are probably people like that. I'm not one of those people, so maybe I came across that way. I try to be more open, but I think I looked over the last 8 years, especially now, what is my quality of life is, and where is my money going? I mean, I got to be concerned about that. I mean, I'm 55. I got how many more years to retire? I don't know. Depends what I want to do. That's what I'm looking for. And I think that any reasonable adult would want to be thinking that way. Like, hey, where's my quality of life? What's my kids' quality of life going to be? And my grandkids? You know what I'm saying? So maybe I came across a little aggressive with you, and I apologize for that. But this is where I'm at, and I don't like the policies of what Biden stood for and Obama and Hillary. This is where we are right now. If a Democrat comes across with better policies with the next person in line from a Republican, whether it's J.D. Vance or whoever may be down the pipeline, then you know what? You're going to have to convince me that, hey, you know something? I'm an independent voter. I want to know what you stand for, whether it's a Democrat or whether it's a Republican. That's where I'm at. So if I came more aggressive a few times, I want to apologize. That was on my mind for a little bit.
I wouldn't sweat it. I think we just have good talk radio discussions.
Like, yeah, right. But I don't want to come across being aggressive. Cause like you had Shane Berger on the other day, and I called Chris McCarthy, and I said, you know, there were some things that he said, and I'm going to say this also, there were some things that I kind of, you know, I kind of opened mind to see, listen to this guy. And I would like, and I told Chris, I don't know if he talked, Chris, that you guys talked, but I asked him if you guys can get Shane Burgo and the mayor, John Mitchell, together in studio, or maybe by phone, I don't know, and let them hash these things out, because I think as voters of New Bedford are sick and tired of the finger pointing, if you get what I'm saying. He said this, you know what I'm saying? So we're the ones that are suffering through it, or this, you know, like living this life in New Bedford, the city of New Bedford. So we're the taxpayers. We want to know what's going on. None of this hiding and blaming. Just put your boots on and get the job done. That's all us taxpayers want. I think that's what the country wanted, and that's what it showed this year. And we'll see what happens in the future years, the future elections. But that's all I wanted to say, Jim. You have a great day.
You have a good one, too. Take it easy.
Bye-bye.
All right, let's take some more calls here. Phone lines are lit. I got one line open, 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. Gilly Safioles.
How you doing?
Good. That gentleman, what he said about the people out here, we just want our public officials to do what we voted for them to do, not to vote for their own advancement. But why I called was, I'm not going to take any sides. I called yesterday and I brought it up to with Chris, and it wasn't enough time and everything. But here's a suggestion, okay? Do you agree with, I'm going to ask you a question first. Do you agree that our politicians, especially the city council and the mayor, don't get along? The majority of them.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I would say don't get along, but I would say certainly have issues and certainly take issues with the way each side operates.
Okay, so here's my suggestion, okay? Now, we have some city councils there. Like, everybody complains about the mayor's been there too long, okay? Now, we also have city councilors there that have been there for 15, 20, and 30 years. And there's friction between the things. Now, we have an election coming up in November. Okay, the city council has an election coming up in November. I'd like to make a suggestion that the people, the voters, go out there and vote most of the city councilors out of there and see if the new people that will come in will be able to work with the mayor, or the mayor's still going to be, like a lot of people call him, you know, that he doesn't work with them. The thing that I want now, if they doesn't work to, like that, the mayor is coming up the next year, and they vote the mayor out. But in the meantime, you got to do what the people, the voters say to the city council.
Gilly, I only see one problem with your scenario there.
Go ahead.
You got to get people that are willing to come out and run. There's got to be people that are willing to come out and run against those incumbents. If there's nobody else on the ballot, they get reelected.
I'm making a suggestion then. If that's what I'm trying to say is, you'll find out who. The bottom line, they all got to work together for the public out there. Okay. Now you have a lot of people criticizing them. You got to remember, you have three people on that city council that have run for mayor before. Why aren't they running again? How come nobody's challenging the mayor?
No, I don't know. I mean, maybe life circumstances change and that they're not interested in the job anymore. It's the only thing I can think of.
Well, yeah, it doesn't mean that's what they're thinking, but if they can attack the mayor, and I'm not saying the mayor's right all the time, okay? And you know, I've always supported John Mitchell, okay? But I also hold him responsible if he does something wrong, like I do with everybody. And I'm not, but my main concern is you got an election coming up. Okay, then you got people on it. You know, when they were talking about.
I got about 30 seconds and I got to take a break.
Well, like I said, vote, they come first. Vote the city council out. And the new people that come in, you'll see if they can work with the mayor. If they can, the mayor's still being stubborn, then he's coming around the following 2 years. Vote him out. And have them people that challenge them run. But they don't run. Why don't they run?
Yeah.
Why are they always criticizing? You know, like a lot of people.
I gotta hold you there. I gotta take this break. All right. You have a good day. I've got other callers that I want to get in before we run out of time. And I also want to let people know, too, that Paul Santos is filling in for Ken tomorrow. He's going to have Ian Abreu in studio tomorrow from 9 to 10. So any of the questions that you didn't get to talk to him about yesterday with Chris, you'll be able to talk to him tomorrow, 9 to 10 with Paul Santos. Paul always puts together a great show when he's filling in. So you'll enjoy that for sure. I got to take this break. Callers, don't go anywhere. I'm going to get you in, but we'll be back in a few.
It's live.
And make sure you jump on over to isaacsonsolar.com and enter to win a free solar system. It's the biggest prize we've ever given away. It'll be worth over $100,000 over the life of those panels. So go to isaacsonsolar.com right now and you can enter to win. But you got to get your entries in by January 31st. Let's finish off with a call. And I know I've only got about 2.5 minutes here for you, but have at it.
All right. Here we go. So I read something that Republican in Tennessee, congressman, introduced a bill to amend the Constitution to increase the terms for president.
Yes.
Because he loves Donald Trump so much. This is exactly what you talk about when it comes to Trump derangement syndrome. They would have had an absolute fit over it if anybody introduced that type of a bill when Obama was in office. But because he is in office, Trump, and this guy has some kind of derangement infatuation with a man, he introduced this bill to create a third term. And he worded it in such a way that if you already serve two consecutive terms, you are not eligible.
Which is just to keep Obama from running, yeah.
Keep Obama from running and George W. Bush from running. This guy is exactly what I picture MAGA being. Like people who cannot criticize the man that they voted for, right? I'm a person who voted for Trump, and I can be critical of Trump as much or more than I was critical over Biden. Biden was a complete failure of a president, in my opinion, when it comes to foreign policy and immigration. And when Donald Trump messes up, I'll be able to do the same thing. But I can also praise both sides. See, that you know, caller a couple minutes ago, you know, you should be able to, as an objective observer and not somebody who is part of a political frat party, which is what MAGA is.